sticking with this chapter now for, I'm sure, the past couple of months, and we've been learning a lot from it. It's a great chapter. Again, just as we come to it, just to remind ourselves again that the book of Hebrews is a book that was written to Hebrew believers, and they were wavering. They were suffering persecution. It had been a major cost for these folk to turn from Judaism and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they faced real persecution and real struggle, they grappled with the question, should we go on or should we go back? And right throughout this book, we've seen how the writer of the Hebrews reminded the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his deity, of his completed work. And there's a series of warnings throughout the book. And here we are in chapter 11, a great chapter of encouragement, a chapter of faith. I want to read verses 29 to 31 of chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, as we've gone through this chapter, we started off and we looked at Abel, and we thought about worship. And we then looked at Enoch, and we thought about our walk, and we looked at heaven in particular. We looked at Noah and his witness, and we thought of the whole topic of judgment. We then thought about Abraham and waiting. Isaac and the will of God. Jacob, where we saw weakness turned to strength. Joseph, we thought of him watching. And we're going to look at these three verses about Israel and think about Israel winning. This whole section, as we've said before, in chapter 11, with all these great examples of faith, it's sandwiched between a section at the end of Hebrews 10, running into the start of Hebrews 11, and then a section at the end of Hebrews 11, running into chapter 12. And before we get into these examples, the writer tells these believers to cast not away their confidence, and to have patience, and to look to the promise ahead. And then he brings all of these examples. These examples are there to encourage the believers, to exhort them, and to explain what faith is. And whenever we come to the end of this section, we're going to look at how these examples have been brought before the people, and then Christ is presented, who is far better, and how we're to look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we've thought about faith over these last number of weeks, what we've said is it's having confidence in God's word. It's taking God at his word. And that's what we've seen in each of these characters that we've looked at. But let's just take the next 20 minutes or so and have a look at these three verses and see what we can learn about faith as we look at Israel. There's four very simple points that I want to bring out in this passage. And the first thing that we're going to look at in verse 29 is a predicament that seemed impossible. A predicament that seemed impossible. Let's just read the verse again. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. This is talking about Israel. And all the children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt. Pharaoh had decided after the 10th and great plague, where the firstborn were all destroyed, to let the Hebrew people go. And they're fleeing Egypt. And Pharaoh has changed his mind, and his armies are now pursuing them. And we find them standing at the edge of the Red Sea. So on one side, they've got this great sea. And behind them, they've got the armies of Egypt. And they're in a predicament that seemed to be totally impossible. And you know, if we were to go back and have a look at this story in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, we would find them complaining to Moses and asking why they had been brought out of the land of Egypt. But you don't get any of that in chapter 11 in Hebrews. The focus here is on their faith. And you know, as you think back through all of the examples that we have in chapter 11, and bear in mind that this book that we're looking at was written to Hebrew believers who were wavering. They had brought before them Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had the promise from God that they would become a great nation. And by the time we get to this verse, we see the Hebrew people have become a great nation. They were seen by Pharaoh as a threat to them, but they didn't have the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've had Joseph brought before us in this chapter as well. And if you remember when we thought about Joseph, he made the people promise to take his bones with them when they left Egypt into the promised land. And you know, here we have them now, but they're on their way to this promised land, but in a predicament that seemed totally impossible. The sea on one side, the armies of Egypt on the other. But you know, whenever we look at the story in Exodus, and Moses made petition to God, and Moses lifted his rod and the sea parted, the promise was given that they could pass through unharmed. God gave his word that they would pass through unharmed. And you know, Moses and the people of Israel took God at his word, and they passed through the Red Sea unharmed. They exercised faith. They took God at his word. You know, in this verse in Hebrews 11 and verse 29, there are two sides to it. Let's just read it again. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And then it goes on, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Now I'm sure the Egyptians, as they saw the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea on dry land, they thought, let's go after them, let's pursue them, and let's get them. But the difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel was that the Egyptians did not place any trust in God. They were going through in their own strength, in their own sight, without any promise from God. And God closed the sea in on them, and they all perished. The children of Israel, despite all of their failings, and even in the book of Hebrews, earlier on when we went through it, some of their failings were brought before us. But here we have them as winners. They took God at his word, And I'm sure it wasn't an easy thing to step out between two walls of water and make your way through it. I'm sure they did it with trembling and fear, but they took God at his word and they trusted him. And God brought them through and made them winners. We have a predicament that seemed impossible. But as we move on through this, let's have a look at verse 30. We have two thoughts in verse 30 that we can think about, both of which are linked. Verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Two thoughts here. First of all, we see a place that seemed impenetrable. A place that seemed impenetrable. Here we have Israel again and Joshua with them leading the way. They were in the promised land, having crossed through the Jordan. And here they are at Jericho. And it has these great walls. And it seems that there's no way through. And you know, we get the story in Joshua 6, verses 1 to 20. And the children of Israel had been 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They had entered the land. And here was a massive barrier straight away. They had to take Canaan. This was the first city that they came to. But you know, God had given them a promise that the land would be theirs. And you know, the wonderful thing is the people took God at his word. And that brings us just to the second point linked into this verse. Because if there was a place that seemed impenetrable, they were given a plan that seemed implausible. Let's just turn over to Joshua 6 for a moment. Joshua 6 and verses 2 to 5. I'll just read verse 1 as well. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and its king and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." So the walls of Jericho, it was a place that seemed impenetrable. But then God gives Joshua this plan, which to the average 2/8 would seem totally implausible. To compass the city round about, walk round it, and then walk round it 7 times the 7th day, and blow in the trumpets, and then when there's a long blast on the horn, the walls would fall flat. And I'm sure Joshua, when he went to the people with the plan, sort of wondered what the response would be. You know, these tactics were fairly rare. But, you know, God had given the promise that the city would be theirs and that the land would be theirs. And Joshua and the people of Israel took God at his word. And God was faithful. It says in our verse, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." The children of Israel took God at his word, and through their faith, they conquered Jericho. And I suppose that reminds us that God's ways and God's plans aren't always how we would do things. And we need to be careful about thinking that we know better than God. You know, if the people had thought, well, that's a crazy plan, we're not doing that. We're not going to go and march around this city and look like idiots in front of these people. They'd never have taken Jericho. They would never have taken the land. But they took God at his word. And by faith, they were winners again. So we've a predicament that seemed impossible in verse 29. And in verse 30, we've a place that seemed impenetrable and a plan that seemed implausible. But let's have a look at verse 31, because here we see a person that seemed improbable. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, Rahab is a key link between verse 29 and verse 30. Because without God having used Rahab, verse 30 certainly wouldn't have happened in the way perhaps that it did. When you think about Rahab, she was a godless woman who was a prostitute. But it's a wonderful story whenever you sit down and read through it in Joshua 2, verses 1 to 21. Because Rahab, and let's maybe just turn over to it, because there's a couple of verses I think that are worth reading in it. Joshua 2. Just turn to verse 9 of Joshua 2. Bear in mind, Rahab was a godless woman who lived in a very depraved place. And her life was far removed from anything that would have glorified God. But we read in verse 9 of Joshua 2, and she, that is Rahab, said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know, Rahab, a godless woman who was a prostitute, living in Jericho, which was a depraved place, and some of the things that went on in it were awful. But she had saw God's greatness. And unlike the people of Jericho, who had also saw God's greatness, they had refused him, but not Rahab. And she hid the two spies, and she threw the authorities off their paths, and then she helped them escape. Rahab had a problem, and the problem she faced was that she knew there was judgment coming, and she knew there was destruction ahead because of her sin and because of the sin of the people. And you know, she wanted to avert that judgment. And you know, as you read through Joshua 2, there was a promise given. The spies promised that if she would throw out the scarlet line, they promised that she wouldn't be touched as long as she remained in her house and her family with her. And you know, we see the power of God, because Rahab took God at his word, and God was faithful. Just as we've read in our verse, by faith, Rahab didn't perish. When you go into Joshua 6, you'll find that she was delivered. And Rahab was one of David's ancestors. She's mentioned in Matthew 1 in the genealogy that you find there. And you know, it's a lovely picture, this. You know, apart from the fact that Israel again were winners because of Rahab, Rahab was a winner herself. And you know, it reminds me, this verse, that no one is unreachable. And no one is too bad for God to save. And no one is too bad for God to use for his glory. You know, there's wonderful thoughts in these verses, and I would encourage you to go through them and to go back into the book of Joshua and to read through it and see what you can find for yourselves. But you know, as we draw things to a close this morning, the real challenge for us, and the challenge that's been brought to us week by week as we've looked at these examples, is will we take God at his word? The writer to the Hebrews, he's writing to believers who are wavering, who are facing challenges and persecution and problems, and they feel like throwing in the towel. But he's bringing before them these wonderful examples of faith, where people took God at his word, and God brought them through. In these verses we've looked at, we've had a predicament that seemed impossible. With the people of Israel between the armies of Egypt and the Red Sea. But they took God at his word and became winners. We had a place that seemed impenetrable and a plan that seemed implausible. But again, we see Israel, and they took God at his word and they became winners. And in between it all, we see a person that seemed improbable. But she took God at his word, and she became a winner. You know, all of these problems that these people faced, but they trusted God. And you know, we're reminded in God's word, but with God, all things are possible. And we need to take him at his word. And that's what the believers here were encouraged to do. And you know, if a godless prostitute in a depraved city can take God at his word and be transformed and be used greatly, why not these Hebrew believers that the writer wrote to here? And why not you and me? I'll just close a short word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And Father, we think of the people who the writer of Hebrews penned these words to. And Father, they wavered. And Father, we would confess that we often waver as well. And Father, we would confess that our faith is oftentimes weak. But Father, help us, like these examples that we have been studying week by week, help us to learn to take you at your word and to trust wholly and completely in you. Father, that you might take us and use us and do great things through us. Father, we think of Israel, we think of Rahab, who by faith became winners for you. And Father, we just pray that day by day, as we would seek to walk for you, as we would seek to press on, looking on to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, help us to be winners for you in all that we do. Father, we just pray these things and ask them in Jesus' name.